I mentioned to you many times that I have, I guess, favorite passages of scriptures. John 6 is always one that I like to read and study. Just certain things here that just, I guess, appeal to me, and I just like to read the things of Jesus. In John chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. I just stopped there. I just tried to picture that. I have no idea what it looked like. But what a setting that is, where Jesus would just go apart with his disciples and just sit with them. Verse 4, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. If you would pay attention to that last part of verse 6, he himself knew what he would do. A great lesson there that I suppose all of us need to learn more and more. The Lord knows what he's doing. He knows what he will do. We must never find ourselves questioning the Lord concerning what he has done, what he is doing, or what he will yet do in the future. We all know and have experienced it that there are many things that we do not understand in the workings of the Lord. There are just many things I think test us, even as Philip here was tested. And in verse 6, that word prove there means that Jesus was testing Philip. And we are tested on many different occasions. Just recently, I told Janice that I would stake my life on Romans 8:28. The truthfulness of it, but just some things I don't understand how it can be so. That all things do work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But I'm thankful I don't have to understand the how and the why in many different things. Just trust what the Word of God says. That all things do work together. And again, we find ourselves wondering sometimes why certain things happen. I think I told the church here several years ago that I was in Jamaica on a trip down there visiting the churches, and I met a man there and was talking to him, and he told me that he did not believe there was a God. And I just asked him why. He said if there was a God, that there would not be so much trouble in the world, and that there would not be some that had plenty and some that had nothing. And he said, I just do not believe that there is a God. Some question God simply because there's sin in the world. And their reasoning is, if there is a God that is God over all, why does he allow sin in the world? If there is a God who is God over all things, why does he allow the devil to continue working in this world? If there is a God, why does he allow me or you to have such trouble? Questioning the things of God. There's so much that I simply do not know. I do not know why saints must suffer tribulation as they enter into the kingdom of God. I don't understand that. I don't know why. But I know that God does know why, and I apply this last words of verse 6 not only to Jesus, but to God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. God knows what He is doing. He knows what He will do. And I just am thankful that this is here. I like to go back and read this from time to time. It's just to me a very comforting statement in the Word of God, for He Himself knew what He would do. The Lord is never caught off guard. Nothing ever surprises the Lord. Again, He always knows in every circumstance, before the circumstance ever arises, what He will do. There are some things that He allows, and this is a case of it here, to prove us, to test us. This was a great test for Philip, and I think he failed the test. He had just witnessing Jesus feed the great multitude with just a little bit of bread and a few fish, and now here's another multitude, and what are we going to do? Philip said in verse 7, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Well, Jesus knew what He was going to do. He knew He was going to feed them miraculously. And He knew that there's going to be plenty left over after everyone had their fill. But the question arises many times, why do certain things happen? Why do certain things happen? And whether we like to admit it or not, we ask that question, why? Or how can this work together for good? And why does God allow things? And we need to be careful about questioning the Lord. I'm reminded, and I'll turn there and read this in the book of Romans and in chapter 9. In Romans and in chapter 9, and I'll begin here in verse 22. Well, I'm going to read through verse 22. I'll begin in verse 15. Romans 9, 15. For He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? And the reply in verse 20 is, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? I like the emphatic statement in verse 20. Who art thou that repliest against God? And again, we need to be very careful about questioning the things of God. He is the Almighty God. He is God, and He reigneth over all. I want to turn to Revelation and read just a couple of places here. I'm going to read in chapter 1 to begin with in verse 8, and then turn to Revelation chapter 19. Notice the words here of the Lord. In Revelation 1 and in verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty El Shaddai, the Almighty. Now, if you turn to the chapter 19 of Revelation and notice verse 6, Revelation 19 and in verse 6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That's a great statement. It's a great statement. It's easy just to read that nonchalantly without paying attention to it. But He is the Lord God omnipotent. One of the great attributes of God. The all-powerful, almighty God. And He reigns. He reigns. In reigning, He does according to His own will. He rules over all. Now, I'm going back, keeping that in mind, to the book of Jeremiah, and in chapter 32. In Jeremiah, and in chapter 32, there is a question here. As we consider the things of the Lord, and He knows what He will do. Again, never caught off guard, never has to ponder what He's going to do, never has to make such decisions as we do of what we're going to do. He knows what He's going to do. Again, before any circumstance ever arises. And notice in Jeremiah 32, verse 27, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Several things there to consider, and I won't spend a lot of time on them, but here's one of those I am. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. And then it says, I am the God of all flesh. Whether unbelievers want to recognize it or not, or whether anyone else wants to believe it or not, He is the God of unbelievers as well as the God of believers. He is the God of all. He reigns over all. He is the God of all flesh. And He poses this question here. Is there anything too hard for me? Well, the word hard or difficult or even impossible should never be used when considering God. For if it's His will, He will do it. He does according to His will. In the book of Job, and this goes along with the thought of why does God do something or why does He not do something? And one question, I guess, is just like the other. Why does God allow some things? Why does God disallow some things? Why does God do some things and why does He not do other things? And many of those things that He does not do, our human reasoning would say, well, He ought to have done that. But who are we to reply against God? In Job 33 and in verse 13, Job 33 and in verse 13, Why dost thou strive against Him? For He giveth not account of any of His matters. He reigns, and He is not accountable unto us concerning what He does do or what He does not do. He does not give an account to any of His matters. God is not accountable unto us. He does not have to tell us why or why not. We're answerable to God. He is not answerable unto us. He judges us. We do not judge Him. Again, verse 13, He giveth not account of any of His matters. I'm going to say again, I do not know why God allows some things. I do not know why God allowed the fall of man. I do not know why God allowed the entrance of Satan into this world. I do not know why saints suffer. I do not know so many things. But I do know if it were good for us to know all these things and have the answer to all of these things, God would have told us. But He did not tell us. The one who raised the dead, healed the sick, Jesus Christ our Lord in John chapter 6, He knows what He will do. And if God does not do certain things, it's not because He cannot. It's because He would not. Consider for a few moments, if you would, the difference between cannot and would not. Go with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And I want us to read the first 14 verses. Considering the sickness of Lazarus, the death of Lazarus, Jesus raising him from the dead. Verse 1, Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Martha which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, He said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When He had heard, therefore, that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Then after that saith He to His disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto Him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone Thee, and goest Thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth. He stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. Now, as you read this account and think about it for a few moments, keep in mind the words of John 6 and in verse 6. Jesus knew what He would do. Lazarus was sick, and Lazarus died. Verse 3, His sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now Jesus, verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Think about sickness. In your own life, your family's life, friends, in our church, think about sickness. Sickness among those whom the Lord loves. Why does He allow it? Why? For the Lord knows what He will do. Notice, if you would, in this text, and I'll raise the question, did Jesus have the ability to keep Lazarus from becoming sick? Did He have the ability to keep Lazarus from dying at this time? Why did it happen? Was it because Jesus could not prevent it, or because He would not prevent it? Again, there's a difference in cannot and would not. The answer, as we read the context, is very obvious to every true believer. He did not choose to stop the sickness nor the death of Lazarus. But because He did not mean that He could not. Jesus knew what He was doing. You read, if you want to notice it, in verse 35, I bet you everyone here has memorized this verse, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Verse 37, and some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? In verse 36, some of the Jews said, behold how he loved him. They saw Jesus weeping. Some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? I won't turn there, but in John chapter 9, Jesus had given sight to a man that had been blind for many years, blind from his birth. He opened his eyes and gave him sight. And here now, when Lazarus is sick and he dies, people know that Jesus loved this man. Why did He allow him to become sick? Why didn't He do something? Why didn't He intervene? John 6 and verse 6 has the answer. Jesus knew what He would do. Jesus knew what He would do. Hold your place here and look in Hebrews in chapter 12. In Hebrews and in chapter 12, and in verse 3, Hebrews 12 and in verse 3, for consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. If you want to see a classic example of Jesus enduring contradiction of sinners against Himself, look back to John 11, verse 36 and verse 37. He gave a man sight that had never had sight before. Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? The contradiction, the questioning here. The questioning. If he does something in one instance, is he obligated to do something in another? No. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. He may heal one and not another. He's the Lord. He reigns over all. He may give sight to one, withhold sight from another. He's the Lord. Again, the questioning here in verse 37 is why I read this. The questioning of, I think, two things. His ability, first of all. That's what the question really is. If he had the ability to give sight, does he not also have ability to keep this man from being sick and dying? Questioning the ability and also questioning the very will of the Lord. Anytime we question, we fall into the same category of these unbelieving Jews. Why does God allow this to happen? You ever ask the question, why me? Well, that could be answered with a question, why not you? Why not you? Why not me? Again, there's a difference between could not and would not. Jesus would not go there sooner. He did not prevent the sickness. He would not be there to console Martha and Mary. He waited day after day. And then he said, it's time to go. The disciples thought Lazarus was sick, sleeping, getting some rest. Jesus had to make the announcement, Lazarus is dead. I'm not going until he's dead. Once he's dead, then I'll go. Because Jesus knew what he would do. Notice again, verse 4. The sisters had sent word in verse 3, the one that you loved, and they knew Jesus would know who they were speaking of, is sick. He's sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. The meaning here is the purpose of the sickness is not that the sickness will cause Lazarus to die. That's not the reason he's sick. This sickness is not unto death. And he states two reasons that he allowed Lazarus to be sick and die. Notice the two reasons. Verse 4. But for the glory of God, first of all. And also, you'll notice that little word, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Why did he allow Lazarus to be sick and to die? That God would be glorified. And that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. It would probably stagger our minds, and if we knew over the centuries how many times John 11 has been read, preached from, people have heard about it all over the world. Here's a man been in a grave 4 days, his body is already decomposing. And Jesus just calls his name and gives the command, Lazarus, come forth. And he comes forth. He raised the dead. Why was the sickness allowed? And I think this should not be limited to the sickness and death of Lazarus, but for believers of all times. Why does it happen? Why does it happen? God has a reason. The Lord knows what He is doing. He knows. I refer to John 9. Let's look back there in John chapter 9. When Jesus gave sight to this man. In John chapter 9 and in verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Why was this man born blind? I'm sure medical people could give a lot of reasons why it happened that all of a sudden there's a child born and he's blind. Why? What happened? What happened? Why was this man born blind? Notice, Jesus said in verse 3, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. Well, why was he born blind? That the works of God should be made manifest in him. The sovereign God that rules over all had singled out this man even before he was born. In this man, the works of God are going to be made manifest. How many times has it been preached through the years? We serve a Lord who can give sight to the blind. Who else can do that? Who else can do that? Who else can raise the dead? In John chapter 11, when Jesus did call Lazarus from the grave, he called him from the dead simply by saying, Lazarus, come forth. It was proof positive that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. The raising of Lazarus from the dead is proof positive that Jesus does have the keys of death. Have you ever just considered that? He has the keys. The one that has the key is the one that lets in and lets out whom he will. Having the keys of death, Jesus is the one in charge of who enters into the realm of death. And he's also in charge of who comes out of that realm. He proved that by just singling out one man out of all the dead. Lazarus, come forth. Who called him? The one that has the keys of death. He allowed him into death. He called him out of death. What proof this is. And it's the glory of God and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had a purpose of waiting until Lazarus had been in the grave 4 days. If he had waited to just one day, people might say, well, he was not really dead. But he waited till the body was decomposing. His sister says he's already stinking. And Jesus called him from the dead. The next chapter, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with them. You ever wondered what conversations went on at that table? Look at verse 9 a little bit later. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Why? Why would they want to do that? Verse 11. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away from the Jewish religion and believed on Jesus. I'll say again, Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. In verse 12, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's coat. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. When Lazarus was sick, he had no idea why he was sick. There's no record of him being told. Mary and Martha didn't know. What caused this sickness? What caused this sickness? Why all of a sudden is Lazarus sick? Well, the Lord was not responsible to tell Lazarus, Mary, or Martha why he was sick. Then Lazarus died. No one but the Lord knew why Lazarus died. But we're told that it was for the glory of God and that Jesus Christ would be glorified thereby. When Lazarus was sick, I don't think he had any idea that he would play a part in that triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem when they laid the palm branches down in the path of Jesus as he came in, riding upon that colt. But if you look at John 12 and verse 17 again, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. It played a part in this with the people that were there. Why did it happen? Was it because Jesus could not prevent the sickness? Or that he just would not? Because he knew what he would do. He knew what he would do. And I'll mention this in close. We need to be very careful and questioning what the Lord's doing. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. We know that our God does all things well. Surely we know that. And we need to just believe that. Whatever He allows in some way, some form, will be for His glory. And somehow, some way, and we don't have to know how or why, we're told again in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I don't think Lazarus probably understood in that terrible sickness. It must have been terrible. He died. Why is this happening to me? Mary and Martha, why did Jesus let Lazarus die? But we do know it works together for good. Whatever sickness I have, you have, it'll work together for good. The Lord knows what He is doing.